Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Submitted for the approval of the Wistful Thinking listenership, I call this episode The Tale of the Time We Watched of Episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark? So, Are You Afraid of the Dark, a classic SNICK show, which, what did SNICK stand for?
Saturday Night Nickelodeon. Well, I don't really know why that equals SNICK all the way, but...
It's almost a portmanteau. SNICKelodeon.
SNICK, but then nobody ever called it that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, I'm Kara Gallo-Regan. That's my co-host, Jordan Poland-Clark, that you're hearing.
Hello.
And, Are You Afraid of the Dark? It aired on SNICK with two generations of cast members for a total of 7 seasons between 1990 and the year 2000. And the show featured a group of teenagers who referred to themselves as the Midnight Society, who met at a secret location in the woods at night, where one member would tell the group a scary story. And so you would see them telling the story at the beginning and then sometimes cut in throughout the story. But what you're mostly seeing during the episode is the actual action.
Thought of it like the Twilight Zone for kids.
Yes. And in homage to Rod Serling, who was the creator and host-ish. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
Host of the Twilight Zone? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was very much in homage to that because the kids would say, submitted for the approval of Midnight Society, just as Rod Serling would say, submitted for your approval.
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
Until you just said that.
Yeah. Huh. So, 100% Twilight Zone for kids.
Yeah. All right. So I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very accurate. I made a list of 6 episodes. You watched half of them. I watched kind of all of them. Although kind I didn't of. Pay very close attention, especially not towards the end.
But. I have a question for you before we get into the episodes. We were messaging about doing this. Because for a long time I've been telling Kara about this one episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because I hope you all have seen Kara's original art for our episodes. It's super, super cool.
What's the Wistful Pod on Instagram?
Yeah, it's Wistful Pod everywhere, right?
Yeah, more or less.
All right. Yes. Try Wistful Pod at Instagram. We think we know our Instagram. But so Kara makes her art, and every time she has to make a person, she draws them without a face.
Because it's way easier. It takes way less time.
I'd imagine so. And it's great. It gives it a style. I like it. But it reminds me of the episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark that used to scare me the most. It's actually the only one I can ever remember watching. It's one of the ones we watched for today, so we'll talk about it. But so we had been talking about this show for a long time. But when we decided to finally watch it, Kara, you were like, well, just let me know if you need them. I think I have every episode on a hard drive somewhere.
Yes, I definitely do, but I couldn't find the hard drive.
Why?
I don't know. I used it recently. Because I was moving stuff on and off of it.
Yeah, but why do you have every episode on a hard drive?
Oh, I torrented them back in college at some point.
Did you watch them in college?
Yeah, it was one of the semester, the first semester I got really sick. I spent a lot of time rewatching old stuff.
How did your rewatch from then compare to now?
I think I enjoyed it more then.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also, I think, expand like my what's the word I'm looking for? Like the amount of like horror movies and stuff that I've seen between then and now is like ridiculous. So like
Yeah.
now I just have like a much more sophisticated palette or something. I don't know.
Whoa, side note about horror movies. You haven't seen Hereditary yet, have you?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, me neither. I haven't talked to anyone who's seen it, and I really want to, but it's not gonna be you. Okay. Okay, you want to get into the episodes?
Sure.
So the first one we watched, I'm gonna say them in the order that you gave them to me. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, 'cause they're basically in chronological order
Okay.
from when they aired.
So the first episode that we watched is called The Tale of the Nightly Neighbors, and it's about a brother and a sister who live in a suburban neighborhood with their parents, and their new neighbor is moving across the street. The new neighbors are super weird, and
They're
it
from
turns out,
Ukraine.
no, it was it Ukraine?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was somewhere else in the
No,
same
'cause
area.
the girl said like they're from that part of the world with all the like places that end in IA or something. And she says Romania and Transylvania, and like Ukraine does not end in that. And also Transylvania, I think, is inside of Romania. So geographically, it's a little messy, but yeah, they are
Well,
from.
all of the writing in this is a little messy, which is what some of
True,
my notes
fair
are
point.
about. But,
Fair point. But they like
right.
dress all in black and they only go out at night, and like they sound like I get along with them very well.
I know. This, I mean, all of this is like your jam.
Yeah.
So they the kids, no, actually just the sister starts to get all suspicious, and the brother's like, "No, you're just making that up." Everyone's gaslighting her. They're like, "No, you're not seeing anything." And she's like, "Yes, I
Because
am."
also, like, all of these people in the neighborhood are getting sick and they have these, like,
Yeah.
band-aids on their neck.
Yeah. And like everyone
And.
else is pretending like it's not weird, except she's like, "Oh, this is weird." So brother and sister sneak into the house. They find all this blood, and the
Well,
people are
because the
like,
sister, like, has already concluded, like, clearly these people are vampires.
"Yeah,
Like,
she has."
I've done the math. It all adds up.
Yeah.
These people are obviously vampires.
Yeah.
Don't invite them in the house. And then her mother does.
Yeah, her mother invites them in the house. But then there's a twist for a second where they are seen outside during the day. So
However, they are carrying a giant box of blood.
Much blood, which they play off by saying that they work at the hospital and the hospital just needs someone to store it for the hospital, because that's how hospitals work.
I can assure you that that is not the case.
And then the second twist is the end of the episode, where we find out that the couple's son is actually the master vampire, and he's gonna go play video games with the brother and
Yeah.
presumably
Feed on him.
suck the blood of the brother. Why, my number one question about this episode is, if they have all that blood, why are they feeding on the people in the town?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. I think fresh blood is probably better. You know, like those are just their like emergency
But they
supplies.
have so much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I thought was funny about this episode? Is that before I even knew that they were vampires, I mean, I kind of suspected, but I didn't know what the episode was about yet, I wrote down that the main character reminded me of Kristen Stewart.
Oh, huh, yeah. Yeah, 'cause she's like all like, "Oh, you guys,
But
why aren't
she
you
like
listening to me?"
she also looks like her. I
Yeah,
thought
she
that
does.
she looked like her.
Yeah. But I this episode is a good example of the way that so many of these Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes end, where like, "Oh, we've found a perfectly logical explanation for this strange thing that's happened. Like, this is what happened. It's not supernatural or whatever." And then, like, right before the episode ends, there's like this little twist
Yeah, a
where
little
it's like,
thing that happens and
"You
you're like,
thought that
oh."
that was the case, but it turns out he is actually a vampire."
Yeah. I thought that, so one of the, we can talk about it more with, like, the next two episodes, too, but, like, one of the problems that I have with this show now as an adult is that the reactions to the things that are happening yeah. around them are, like, so understated. Like, they actually, like, but except in this episode, like, I thought this kid, the girl, the, like, fake Kristen Stewart, did a pretty good job at being like, no, this is crazy and I'm scared. Yeah. But nobody else did in any of the other episodes.
Yeah. One of the later episodes that I watched, starring Tia and Tamara Mowry of Sister Sister fame, she like gets bit by a chameleon and then that night has really crazy nightmares and then wakes up and has this horrendous rash all over her stomach, and her friend is like, I'm sure it's nothing. Like, relax. Let's go to breakfast. When it's like, you know, if you get bit by an animal and then you have like crazy fever dreams and develop a major rash, the only response is, oh my God, we need to get you to a doctor.
Yeah, like nobody's ever very worried, which I don't understand.
Yeah. There was another show that was on around this time, and I don't know if it was also on Nickelodeon, so let me look it up.
Which show?
It was called Erie, Indiana.
I knew that's what you were going to say because you mentioned it the other day. Which, yeah. And I don't think it was on Nickelodeon.
It was on NBC.
I, like, always remember, like, being a little too scared to watch it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was scarier than... And the scariest part about Are You Afraid of the Dark is, like, the opening credit sequence.
That part is actually still kind of scary.
I know, right? It's chilling.
Do you think... Was there, like, a longer one at any time? Because the one in the episodes that I watched seems, like, pretty abbreviated, and it makes me think that once there was, like, one that was, like, a whole minute long.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, it was, like, a similar thing, but it was about this kid who moves to this town, Erie, Indiana, and, like, all of this weird shit is happening, and no one is like, hey, there's a lot of weird shit happening, you know? And there was this one episode that I thought was an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, so I was excited to do it and then disappointed when I realized that it wasn't actually on this show. But it was called Foreverwhere, I think. And it was about this, like, another family of weirdos in the neighborhood, a woman and her, like, two adult twin sons. And she's, like, a Tupperware sales lady who's, like, strangely, like, her whole vibe and their whole vibe is, like, they're from the 50s. And it turns out that they are, and they just sleep in Tupperware every night. It keeps them fresh. Yeah, I don't know why I started talking about that. How did we get here?
I don't know. I don't remember either. That's okay. Another note that I made from this episode that also shows up in all the other episodes, and I don't know, maybe you noticed it, like, it's the clothes are so 90s.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where everybody's just wearing a baggy shirt and their hands are hidden for the whole episode.
And the wonderful 90s hair, too.
90s hair. I also wrote that note.
So good.
Both of them next to each other with 3 exclamation points. But there's, like, there's a part of the third episode that we watched where there's, like, a group of kids at camp and they're all wearing the same baggy shirt and you can see none of their hands. I laughed out loud.
Yeah. Anyway. That was, like, my favorite episode, and then rewatching it, I was like, this is not great, especially because Jewel State is, like, the main character in that episode. She went on to be on Space Cases, another SNCC TV show, but also on Firefly. Mm-hmm. And I always really loved her. But then rewatching this, I'm like, oh, she's an asshole in this episode. She's, like, a little racist asshole who gets her fellow Girl Scout, like, lost in the woods on purpose.
But she does have the most perfect hair. She has, like, major hair. Oh, my God. Hair.
It's amazing. It's so long. It's so pretty.
When I was young, I wish I could remember what the series of books was. But when I was in, like, third grade, I think, I was reading, like, a series of books about, like, a young girl, and, like, in the book, this girl moves to town, and, like, everybody loves her, and, like, she's pretty and, like, super cool, and, like, one of the coolest things about her is that her hair is so long that she can sit on it, and I just, like, remember that being my dream. I don't think my hair ever could get that long, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I just trimmed my hair the other day because it was getting into, like, sister wife territory. I think it could probably get that long if I let it. Although it would look terrible, because it was, by the time it gets that long, it's only, like, three strands of hair.
Oh, yeah. And also, yeah. I think it only looks good on, like, kids in the 90s.
True. Very true. Actually, Jenna, who was on our Addams Family episode, we've been friends since, like, fourth grade, and she used to have extremely long hair. And she maybe at one point could have sat on it. Like, I'm sure. I'm certain. I think her hair now is very long also. I don't know. She cuts it sometimes and then it's, like, short. But, yeah, she's been a lifelong long hair person. And I was always very jealous of her beautiful, extremely straight hair. But anyway.
There was also, like, a slapstick moment in this episode that made me laugh really, really hard. The business mom is, like, running to a meeting, and she runs into the mailman, who, like, really over-exaggerates his falling down. That also made me laugh out loud.
I don't remember that, but that sounds funny.
It is really silly. I want to talk about the mom for a second, because I think, like, when we watch these, like, kid shows that are about, like, the kids and the kids' world, they always, like, find a way to get rid of the parents. Like, we talked about this, like, in Hey Arnold. Or the parents just, like, straight up aren't there, and you're like, where are these kids' parents? Like, what's happening right now? And then this... What?
The episode that you're talking about, which one is the business mom in?
The Tale of the Nightly Neighbors.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Watcher's Woods. Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm still on the first episode because we didn't explain Tale of the Watcher's Woods yet, so I went back.
Okay.
Yeah, there are no parents. There are no parents in any of the other episodes that I watched. Do you have anything else to say about the Tale of the Nightly Neighbors before we do the next one?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think I do either. Oh, this is when, like, you first hear that this show is shot in Canada, though.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is so Canadian. that recurs.
Actually, all the campfire scenes were actually shot inside a studio in Quebec. And all of the, like, woods, outdoor scenes were shot in an arboretum. So since it's a protective wildlife area, they were prohibited from using any pesticides for mosquito control. I don't know.
Control?
Yeah, mosquitoes control. I don't know. I copied the note from someplace and it looked weird. And so many of the shots in those episodes where they're in the woods they were chosen because they were the only ones where, like, the actors weren't frantically swatting bugs away.
Oh, gosh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, well, I just was outside yesterday evening in, like, a bit of a swampy area, and I can relate. I was doing that. Just like, surprisingly, not as many mosquito bites as I expected.
All right, ready? The Tale of the 13th Floor.
Yes. So you sent this to me weeks ago, and I mostly watched it then, and I did not rewatch it this time, like, recently. So,
all right,
you can explain. Okay, but this is the one that
this
reminds
is the one
that my drawings remind you of.
So the Tale of the 13th Floor is about another brother and sister who live in an apartment building, apparently also with no parents. And they like to go up to the empty 13th floor to play
and
hockey.
The brother and sister, the sister is an adoptee.
Yes,
right?
We find out quickly that the sister is adopted. And in the beginning of the episode, they're on the 13th floor. They're playing hockey because they're Canadian. And they see these, like, flashing lights, and the ceiling starts shaking. And this is the first time that I was like, you guys aren't reacting enough to this. This is very scary what's happening to you right now. Because they were just like, oh, we better get out of here. And they, like, try to leave. They try to take the elevator down, and their elevator guy has been replaced with a scary elevator guy. And he's like, oh, the other guy had to leave. And they're like, oh, we'll just take the stairs. So... flash forward to the next day, they try to go up to the 13th floor, and they are not allowed to. Scary elevator guy is still there, and he's like, oh, new tenants moved in, they're very busy, you can't go up there. Flash forward another day, the sister gets an invitation to test toys out on the 13th floor, and they're like,
it's a toy factory.
Because it's a toy factory, and they're like, oh, cool, like, that must be what it is, let's go. So... the brother and sister go. Oh, in between this, she has been getting woken up in the middle of the night by the TV in her room by a man talking to her on her TV. Which, again, very understated reaction. It's very scary. And she's like, I must be dreaming. Good night. And she goes back to sleep. So, they are... the brother and sister go to the toy testing. There's a bunch of people there in weird outfits. It's all fancied up upstairs with lots of toys. The people there running it really want the brother to leave. And the kids are like, no way, we stick together. So they do. And blah, blah, blah. Turns out the adopted girl is an alien. And all these people are aliens. And they've come back to try to take her home, and she's kind of like, no way, leave me alone, like, leave my brother alone, I'm gonna get us out of here. And eventually she does, and they leave on their spaceship, and you're like, whew, they made it. And then at the end of the episode, they're sitting on the bed, and the TV comes on again, and one of the alien people is like, hey, Karen, the girl's name is Karen, with an I, it's spelled K-A-R-I-N, I looked it up on the internet. And she's like, we accidentally left you here 10 years ago and we came back to get you, but you ruined it. We can't come back for 10 years. Oh no. And then, oh, I forgot the scariest part. I'm terrible at doing these plots. The aliens in their natural form have no faces. So like during the episode, they're taking on and off like masks and they just have completely blank white faces. So the lady's on the TV, and she's like, we'll be back in another 10 years. Her face goes white, and the brother's like, huh, that's weird. What is that? And then he turns to his sister, and she has the scary alien face. And he screams and runs away. And that's
it. Is that
it.
How it ends?
Yeah, that's how it ends. Which I think is really the part that scared me. Like, I definitely thought that the white faces were scary, but it's that part at the end. It's that twist that they do at the end.
Yeah, because then it's like, well, what's supposed to happen now? Is he just going to live the next 10 years of his life with an alien sister?
Right? Like, she just has to live like that now? That sucks.
Because they only come back every 10 years?
They also gave her all these cool powers, though. She could, like, move stuff with her mind. And she was like,
wow.
Yeah, they gave her a bunch of cool powers. But I still thought that was kind of scary at the end.
I didn't love that one.
No?
Actually, I didn't love it. Any of these. They're fine. It just, like, I was just kind of like, why do you enjoy this so much?
Well, I mean, we're not 8, so.
It's a pretty good argument.
Like, these are clear, these are for children.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Which, like, yeah, which just means, like, the thing that we have, like, seen over and over again is, like, when you're making stuff for kids, it just doesn't actually have to be good. It just has to be, like, passable.
Yeah.
And good enough for a child's mind. Which this totally was when we were small.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember being really freaked out by this stuff.
And I remember being like, oh, like, because, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark would be, like, the last part of SNCC. It would be the part that was on from, like, 9:30 to 10, and it was like, ooh, that's, like, kind of past my bedtime anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I sometimes, like, would sneak out of my room and, like, go downstairs and watch it. So, we did, The Tale of Nightly Neighbors was from season one. Tale of the 13th Floor that you were just talking about was season two. And then in season three is The Tale of Watcher's Woods, which it was what I remembered as my favorite episode, which is basically these girls are at a sleepaway Girl Scout camp, and they like bump into each other just as they got here, and one of them is Jewel State, and she's an asshole, and is like, ugh, I don't even want to be here, whatever, I'm too cool for this. And then the other girl is like really psyched to be there, and like instantly Jewel State decides that she doesn't like her, and there's not really any reason. Like, she, like, there was no reason for her not to like her, except this other girl is black, and so it just kind of comes off as her being, like, super racist.
Wait, do
the
you think,
whole
you really think
episode.
That's why? I just thought,
I don't know.
I didn't
they
think
just
that at all.
Didn't give me enough of a reason to, like, think that, like, why else is she being mean to this girl?
I just thought she didn't like her because they were so opposite. Where, like, you know, the main girl, what were their names? They had names. One was Kelly and one was Sarah, is that right? The main girl, I just thought that, like, Jewel State hated her because she was, like, so good, you know? And Jewel State was so, like, ugh, I'm a rebel, and, like, you know? She just was, like, hating on her because she had, like, every badge and was, like,
oh,
kind
was
of
she
a
wearing her badge thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's,
I guess
there's
I didn't
one
realize
part,
that. Because they
one
don't
part,
interact enough to, like, establish any of that.
No, yeah. There's one part where Jewel State, like, has all of her badges. She's, like, stolen her vest.
Yeah.
And she's like, she has this one. And, like, she has this one. And she's just, like, being all nasty about it.
Yeah.
And then the girl's like, has anyone seen my vest? And she's like, no.
So, yeah.
I don't
Jewel
think
State.
She was racist.
Okay. Well, I would like for that to be the case. But she's an asshole regardless. Her character's name is Kelly, and then the other girl's name is Sarah, and they tell Sarah this is her first year at camp and the other girls have like been there before. And so they tell her, like, in the lodge there's this like photo of these three little girls hanging up with, and three whistles hanging with them, like in tribute to these three girls that got lost in Watcher's Woods back in 1919. And so they tell her this tale of Watcher's Woods, that there's, you know, you shouldn't go there, and it, like, traps people and whatever. And those three girls got lost in those woods and left only their whistles behind. And every once in a while, campers would come back babbling about some watcher lurking within the woods. And Kelly and Sarah have to go off on this hike together. And I already got them mixed up again. Kelly is like, oh, just go through that right there, and then you'll see this thing you want to see. And then she, like, takes her bag and just keeps walking and, like, leaves her behind, so they get lost separately. And then it's nighttime, and they're scared, and they run into the watcher, but then they also run into the three girls who are now, like, old witch ghosts? I'm not sure exactly what their situation is.
Do you know the note that I wrote when they showed up?
What?
Kara loves groups of witches.
It's so true.
I know.
So true.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, Kara must love this part.
Yeah, like, no wonder I love this episode. I loved this episode so much. Also, the girl who tells the story is, like, really cute.
Oh, she really is, but I don't like the way they talk to her at all.
Oh, I didn't either. I was very upset by it because they just are sexually harassing her.
I wrote that, like, three times, and they just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And she holds her own, but she shouldn't have to do that.
I agree entirely.
It's not okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so then, you know, they, like, go through this harrowing experience, and the one girl has to go, like, run back to the lodge to get the whistles so they can give them to the girls who are trapped in those woods and break the spell. I don't know. It was pretty convoluted. A lot of...
It really was.
Not great practical and digital effects, but, like, like, not great in a fun way. I think they're really, like, silly and fun.
Yeah.
And everything's fine at the end, and they make it back, and, like, That one, like, ends happily because they're like, oh, we're friends now because we've been through this terrible ordeal.
Yeah, that one was nice. They walk away holding hands. This episode made me think, like, how strange it must have been to shoot these. Like, maybe not. Like, you know, you're an actor, you go to work, you do your job, you're happy for the work. But, like, it just makes me think about, like, who are these adults dressed up in these, like, silly witch costumes, and, like, the Watcher has this, like, crazy makeup on, and he's, like, you know, trying to scare the little kid. It's just, like, is weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's true of doing, like, any sort of children's programming as you wind up wearing and doing things that you probably were not what you were thinking of when you were in acting conservatory.
The other thing that I like about this episode is that Jewel State has a really good scream that she does at least twice.
Yeah, she does have a good scream.
I had to scream in a show once and I could not do it.
Oh, like, no.
It is so hard to scream. So anytime I see someone do it and they do a really good job, I'm like so impressed.
Yeah, that is really impressive. You have to have like such control over like your vocal cords, I feel like, to like get it out and make it sound real and like be able to nail it every time.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And I definitely failed at it.
Oh no.
I just like made some kind of loud shocked noise.
Yeah. Oh, when we did the Titanic, there was a note that I did not get to. Hang on, let me pull it up because it was really interesting. It was like a film history thing that I did not know about.
Flashback to the Titanic episode 2 episodes ago. If you haven't listened yet, go listen. It's a great one. Joy Lewandowski was on with us.
Or maybe it wasn't that episode. Maybe it was something else. Oh, okay. So actually it wasn't in the Titanic, but that is a great movie and it's a great episode of Wistful Thinking. And also I've watched 2 Kate Winslet movies that I did not know about since then. And both of them were amazing. I can talk about that later. But this was actually, I learned this researching Resident Evil Extinction, which will be coming to Third Time's a Charm in, I don't even know how long, at some time very far down the road, but me and Joey were guests on that episode. And around 40 minutes into that movie, there's a man who is using a flamethrower, and when he gets knocked off the top of a truck that he's using the flamethrower on by some birds, he screams, and what you hear is something called a Wilhelm scream.
I was curious if this is where you're going. The Wilhelm scream is in everything.
Yeah.
It's in like every single movie.
I had never heard of it before. It's a stock sound effect of a man that has been used in at least 382 movies as of April 2018 and countless television series, beginning in 1951 in the film Distant Drums. The scream is often used when someone is shot, falls from a great height, or is thrown from an explosion.
Yeah, if you've never heard of the Wilhelm scream, just go type it into YouTube and you'll be shocked at the number of things that it's in.
Yeah, hang on. Let me see if I can play it. Were you able to hear that?
I could hear it.
Okay. So we'll see if that comes through on the recording. But yeah, I was like, how did I not know about this? It was used in like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, like pretty much everything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There's this scream in there, and they use it because it is so hard to get a convincing scream. But anyway, that was a detour. What was I talking about?
Well, we were talking about the Watcher's Woods episode. Why was this your favorite one?
Well, group of witches. Woods. I love, like, I spent a lot of time as a kid in the woods. I've spent a lot of time as an adult in the woods. I feel very comfortable there. But at the same time, like, it can turn on you really quickly. Like, you can think you know where you are, and then all of a sudden be like, oh no.
Yeah, it's like why the Blair Witch Project is scary.
Yeah.
Even though nothing happens.
about the Blair Witch Project when I was watching it.
Cause I was, too.
It felt like a kind of, like, proto Blair Witch. But, yeah, and especially, like, being in the woods at night. It's, like, so creepy and, and fun and cool. And I just, I don't know. I just always liked this one. And maybe I had a crush on Sam, too.
I mean, she's, like, really cute. And she also has really good hair.
Oh, my God. So the friend that brings her into the Midnight Society, this is, like, her indoctrination, her first time being there. And she, like, gets taken to this secret location. But because they want to keep it a secret, they put a, like, bag over her head. And so she's, like, her friend is, like, I brought this person. Their name is Sam. They're going to tell us a story, and then we're going to judge whether they can be in the Midnight Society. And everyone just assumes that Sam is a guy, and then she takes the bag off her head.
But wait, they assume that Sam is a guy before she even tells them Sam's name.
Oh, really?
They just assume that it's a guy. And then it's a girl, and they're like, oh my God, you're a girl. And then they're like, also, her name is Sam. And they're like, oh my God, your name can't be Sam. You're a girl.
I don't know. I was a little distracted. because she takes the bag off of her head, and her hair, like, falls in the most, like, beautiful way.
Her beautiful hair tumbles out of the bag.
Yeah. So that's... those are some reasons why I like Watchers.
I just related to the detour that we just took because you mentioned Titanic again. I have now Googled the GIF of Leonardo DiCaprio with the cigarette, and I'm just watching it.
Appropriate. Good.
Which is just a thing I do sometimes now.
Sure. Why not?
What else? Okay, so do you want to talk about the other episodes that you watched? Because I didn't watch them.
Okay, yeah. I picked one from season 4 that I remembered called The Tale of the Renegade Virus. Which is interesting. Wait, so this show started in 1990, so this would have been about 1994 when this came out. Because it's about a computer virus. So I just wanted to, like, orient myself and, like, computer history as
that's like I mean, okay, if we talk about computer history that we know from this podcast, really all we have to go on is the net, which was from 1995. Right?
Yeah, so this would have been a year before the net. So like even and then I think Netscape Navigator maybe was like 1996, did we say? So as far as like people might have been using computers at this point, but mostly probably just for like word processing and stuff like that. The majority of people were not using computers, and they certainly weren't using any sort of networked internet or anything. So the plot of that one is Simon's latest prank in a series played between him and his friend Evan goes too far when Evan is late for school, but he seems to have forgotten his friend. That doesn't make any sense. Whatever. He even lets Simon have the first chance. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. So one kid who seems like a bully, and then like one kid who seems like a nerd and is like into computers, and he like gets the bully to like come to computer club with him and like enter this virtual reality thing that he's programmed. But instead of experiencing fencing, like his friend told him that he was going to be like, you know, doing sword fighting or whatever, he realizes he's trapped in a world where he must outwit an intelligent computer virus. The virus has reprogrammed the system, so if Simon doesn't get out of the lifelike setting where nothing works in his favor, it will take over his brain to wreak havoc outside the computer.
Sounds like, I haven't seen this in a long time, so I may be wrong, but the movie Brain Scan... Okay. Isn't that kind of what happens in Brain Scan? Have you ever seen
know.
It?
I don't know. I don't know if I've seen that one. Let me Google
it's
it real
like,
quick.
It's Edward
I was thinking
Furlong.
Kind of like Lawnmower Man. Is that what happens in that one?
Oh, I've never seen Lawnmower Man. That's the like awful Stephen King one. Oh, okay, so in Brain Scan, it's a video game.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it's at that point, video games were almost... No, that's not true. I was going to say mostly on computers, but there were plenty of consoles out.
Oh, okay. In BrainScan, it's a video game where you murder people, but as it turns out, you're murdering them in real life.
Oh no. I don't think I've seen that one.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, I'll have to check it
Oh, I want
out.
to watch it again.
But yeah, I think this is something that was like a popular theme.
Yeah.
Just like throughout science fiction that features computers,
Yeah, I
you
mean, it's
know.
still a popular theme.
Right.
Like, it shows up in a different way now because technology is different and scary in a different way, but.
Yeah. And it was, I think it was, yeah, it was the kid with the glasses who tells the story in that episode. So obviously he's a nerd, and he's
Obviously.
like, obviously, and then he's late to the meeting of the Midnight Society because his computer has a virus where every time he tries to print something, it deletes it from his hard drive, which is hilarious because he had to like rewrite his book report twice. And he comes in and he says, like, I'm gonna tell a story about computers, and then one of the other kids says, the only thing scary about computers is the people who use them.
I bet that's dated now.
Yeah, kind of. But it just winds up being like a nerd revenge fantasy kind of situation that like gets out of control, and you know, then he and his friend are, or I don't know, they're supposed to be friends, but they seem just like a bully and his victim. So I don't know, fucked up situation. But at one point in the simulation or like the virtual reality thing that he is trapped in, the virus has like implanted a like interface in his hand, and it's really just like a VGA port, which is like used to like connect a monitor. And it's like this really awful kind of makeup job that made me laugh out loud. But actually, in that episode, I talked about this a little bit in our episode of Hook, but often depictions of people with disabilities in film or television, they fall into a lot of like very specific and negative tropes. And so the virus in that episode is personified by an actor who is a little person, and he's like this evil person. So it's another example, like Captain Hook, of a disabled character who is portrayed as an evil doer, evil being. And there's so few portrayals of people with disabilities in film and television that when a large portion of them are evil, it's pretty problematic. But I don't know. That's all I had to say about that episode. And then the last one I really was bare. Oh, wait, no, there were two more. Oh, the next one was the one that I talked about before with Tia and Tamara Mowry, where this girl and her friend are having a sleepover, but beforehand they go to a pet store and she gets bitten by a chameleon, and then the chameleon like somehow follows them home and she starts turning into the chameleon, and then somehow like one of them is like there's two of that person now, 'cause obviously Tia and Tamara. So like, and one of them is the chameleon who's like taken her shape and the other one is her, and then they like do that thing where they spin around and they're like, it's me, I'm the real person. And then they throw one of them down the well and it turns out to be the wrong person.
No.
Yeah, it seems like they got the right one, and then the end of the episode is like, dun dun dun. That twist.
I'm gonna detour for a moment since you started talking about Tia and Tamara. There is like a whole slew of famous people that were on Are You Afraid of the Dark? Which, like, we. Jewel State is kind of famous. Tia and Tamara. Rachel. What's her name? Rachel Blit. What's her name? From Clueless.
Oh, yeah, she was part of the first cast of
Yeah, she
the
was part
Midnight
of the Midnight
Society.
Society, but while you were describing the rest of that episode, I was looking up who else famous was on, and so I'm gonna read. I'm gonna read the list, a little bit of it. It's too long to read the whole thing, but so Ryan Gosling and Gilbert Gottfried were on an episode together in season 5, and Ryan Gosling is such a baby. I'm looking at a picture of him.
I know, he's so cute.
Neve Campbell was on season 3.
I almost picked that episode.
Let's see, who else? Oh, I'm old and I don't know who some of these people are.
Can you send me the link?
Yeah. Hayden Christensen.
It came up with the thumbnail of Ryan Gosling on an old school portable phone. He's so cute.
Yeah, I don't know who a lot of these people are. I know some of them.
Oh, Alicia Cuthbert. She was on 24, that show. I don't know who that is. Oh, that guy. Eugene Bird. I recognize him, but I don't know from where. He was in 8 Mile.
Whoa.
Although I don't think I've ever seen that.
He was on Ghost Rider. Did you watch Ghost Rider?
I did. Yes, I remember him on that. He was also on Bones for a long time. That's what I recognize him from. I loved that show.
I forgot about Ghost Rider until just now.
Yeah. Who else? Joanna Garcia. She played Sam, who we were just talking about with the pretty hair. She's been in like a bunch of stuff. She was on Party of Five, Freaks and Geeks, and I think what she's like most known for is that sitcom that she was on with Reba McEntire, and also is apparently on Once Upon a Time. Oh, Jay Baruchel, who was in Knocked Up and Man Seeking Woman. He was just in a bunch of stuff recently. Oh, he's in those.
I feel like he's
movies.
Like a little bit in everything.
Yeah,
but then you just like kind of forget.
Right, and I think most people wouldn't recognize his name, but they would recognize like see his face. Future American Pie star Eddie K. Thomas, go check out American Pie episode of High School Slumber Party, one of the newest episode or one of the newest podcasts on the Cage Club Podcast Network.
Who was he in American Pie?
I don't know.
I feel like they're lying to us right now.
No, he looks vaguely familiar, but I'm not familiar enough with that movie to be able to tell you. He was Paul.
Paul Finch. Yep, he was in that, huh? He just looked super young, and he doesn't in that photo.
Oh, Colin Ferguson. He was on Eureka, which was a sci-fi original series that was so good. Rachel Blanchard, that's who you were trying to remember before. She played Cher on the TV version of Clueless.
Cher number 2. Not as good as the original Cher.
I don't know. She was also great.
What?
I think she was... You know, it's an extremely tough act to follow.
Of course it is.
Obviously, Alicia Silverstone is perfect. But, you know, all things considered, I think she did a good job. Oh, wow. So, Erin Ashmore apparently was on Smallville, which I never watched. And Warehouse 13, another sci-fi original series. And he played Billy in The Tale of the 13th Floor, which was the episode that you picked. And then he was in another episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Playing a character called Jake in The Tale of the Lunar Locusts. The episode featured, of all people, figure skater Tara Lipinski.
What?
Who, I know, right? Who played an alien named Ellen and dealt with alien babies buried beneath a school football field. So I know what I'm doing as soon as we finish this. So I'm going to go watch that episode.
Okay. Do you want to tell me about the last episode that you watched?
Sure. I'm just scrolling through the rest of this list. Yeah, I don't know who any of these people are. Emily Van Camp, she looks familiar. She was on Everwood and Revenge. Okay. Close that window. What was the last episode that I watched? The Tale of the Reanimator. Julie works for a plant store owner who has created a new formula that resurrects dead plants. But when the elixir is poured into the ground, she soon finds out that the formula is strong enough to bring a dead human back to life. And I wasn't really paying attention to that one, but I mean, that's basically the plot, I guess. You know, and then they somehow, like, kill the thing that's come back to life and everything's fine.
No twist at the end?
Couldn't tell ya.
All right. It's always, we were talking, I think it was before we started recording, like, when we're watching, like, a chunk of these, like, kid shows, it's really hard to pay attention by the time you get to the last, like, one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just aren't made for adult brains.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be better than it was, because I remembered, like, enjoying them and getting, like, kind of spooked when I was watching them in college, but I was, like, living alone at that point, you know, and, like, watching them in the dark by myself, so maybe that's why I got really spooked out, because I'm a big old scary cat.
Well, what else scared you when you were, like, a kid?
Everything?
Well, like, because you like scary stuff now. I mean, I like scary stuff now, too.
Yeah. What else scared me when I was a kid? I don't know. It's hard. Oh, definitely vampires. Like, was very concerned about vampires. And
like, every day?
Every day. Oh, every day. Obviously, every night. because I would sleep. I would take my comforter and, like, I didn't like to sleep with it over my head because then I couldn't breathe. So I'd very tightly wrap it, like, around my head and like, around my body and, like, clutch it, like, tight around my neck so that vampires couldn't get to it.
Smart. Smart. And they didn't get you, so good job.
They didn't. So I did a great job of that. Like, you know, I'm definitely not the first person to point this out, but I thought that quicksand would be a bigger problem in my adulthood than it has been.
I have listened to that John Mulaney joke so many times in the last week. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
It's a John Mulaney joke.
Yeah, I forgot that he has a joke about that. But, yeah, that was definitely a concern. What else? I think, like, a little bit of a generic fear of the dark, but not too bad. I don't know. Maybe it was bad. I did always sleep with a nightlight.
I slept with the lights on until I was, like, way too old to sleep with the lights on.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't really remember anything else. For a long time, though, I, like, couldn't watch zombie movies because I had, like, an extremely, like, visceral physical fear reaction to that. And I think it's because I watched 28 Days. I went to see 28 Days Later in the theaters and I was very hungover. And I think it just, like,
that movie's also really
a terrible
scary
thing in my brain. It is fucking,
like,
horrifying.
Well, that's the only
I haven't
movie
watched it since, but that's, it's like, this, it's the running zombies. They're so
they're
scary.
They're fast. That's like, it's one of the only movies where zombies are fast and they are so scary.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that was, like, the first movie where it happened, and now it's more of
a
thing
now.
So, including Resident Evil Extinction, which I mentioned before. They, like, engineer super zombies, and those run really fast. But I finally have, like, I, like, did some exposure therapy of just, like, watching a ton of zombie movies, and now I'm not as freaked out by it. But, like, I'm very easily startled, like, to a comedic extent, because my nervous system is all jacked up. So sometimes, even, like, somebody will just walk in the room and I'll be like, ah! Because it just, and it's not because I'm, like, actually scared or, like, whatever. It's just, if I,
your body was just, like, ready to, like, panic.
Yeah. Yeah. At all times. At all times, it's highly, highly ready. So if somebody, like, surprises me, or, like, so for a long time I didn't like to watch things where things, and I still don't, things that, like, jump out at you, because it's just, like, physically stressful for me.
It's very physically stressful.
Yeah. But I think the thing that I'm most afraid of now is definitely like things that involve like epidemic illness and also like tick-borne illness also have a like a super like high alert, terrified of it at all times, constant vigilance, fear of that now, because I dealt with Lyme disease once and I don't want to ever have to do that again.
Yeah, that's scary. It's,
It's
I mean, it's a big
horrifying.
thing up here.
Yeah, because like I like every time I walk outside, I'm just like, I mean, well, now I, take precautions and I don't go, without covering at least my legs and my ankles and stuff. But yeah, no, I live in constant fear of that. What were you afraid of as a kid?
I was, well, as far as like media, I was very, very scared of the front of the horror movie section, like the boxes at
Yeah.
Blockbuster.
Oh,
Like,
yeah. There were a lot that I was really terrified of, too.
the
I
one.
remember they had a giant Silence of the Lambs poster that re always really
Yes.
freaked me out.
I was the most scared of the Dead Alive cover
Yeah.
and the Pinhead cover. I don't think that's what that movie is actually called, but the guy with all the pins
No,
in his head.
Hellraiser?
Hellraiser. Yeah. So like I was the most scared
Yeah.
of those and they were
Oh my God,
always
yeah, they
there.
were terrifying.
Like so scary. I mean, and it's funny because
Oh
I
my
then
God,
saw the
yeah.
movie Dead Alive in college and love it.
I don't think I've ever seen it, 'cause,
It's
and I just
gross.
Googled the, yeah, but
It's
I don't
really
know, that
gross.
was fun. I also remember being really, really scared. 'Cause I think they like the posters that they had hanging up in our video store were like mostly horror
Yeah.
posters, which
It
makes
was
sense. I
scary.
mean, those are the nerds that work at or worked at video stores.
I'm looking up the Silence of the Lambs one. Oh, yeah, that's a little scary too. Like I knew that that one was a scary movie. The cover of it's not super scary.
But there's something about it that's like
It's
really
weird. And if
disconcerting.
you look really close at the face, there's like a is it a
Yeah.
butterfly?
It's
It's a bug.
a specific type of moth
It's a
that
moth.
has
Right.
that like skull shape on its back.
Which is, if you look really close at that, it's really scary.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I was scared of the dark, obviously, because I just said I slept with the lights on until I was like very old. I mean, when I was small, I was like sure that monsters lived in my closet. I was really scared of storms. Like I remember, look when I so when I was young, my mom used to go on tour because of her job, so we would visit her. And I think we were in, I can't remember where we were. I want to say it was Chicago, but that might not be right. But we were staying at this hotel, and I remember I was watching TV, and like a tornado warning came on the TV, and like that doesn't really happen in the Northeast where we're from. And like it had never
We
occurred
had a
to me.
tornado rip down my street once.
It kind of does happen now, but it didn't when we were young. The weather
That
was a
happened
little
like when I
calmer
was
when we
a
were
little
young.
kid. I was like
Really?
5, I
Oh
think.
my
Yeah,
god,
I remember it really vividly.
I don't remember that being a thing in where we grew up when we were
Yeah.
young.
I mean, I think it was a specific storm because I've like and like a specific storm in my town because I have friends that like also have stories about it. Like one of my friends, his swing set like wound up on the roof, and he was like, and then I just never had a swing set again.
Yeah, like, and but so before that, before I like saw that storm warning on the TV, it had never occurred to me how dangerous the weather is,
Yeah,
and
ooh, yeah.
it like took over me like in an unreasonable way for like a
Oh,
couple
I
of
can completely
years.
understand how that could happen. Yeah.
Like I would be like like laying in bed at night like scared of the weather.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, also I was just like scared of everything forever.
Yeah.
I was I mean, I work against it really, really hard now, and I'm much better now. Like, I was a pretty scared kid.
Yeah. Oh, I was also really terrified of throwing up.
I was terrified of other people throwing up. Like, that's a phobia that I actually still have.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that about you. We have that in common.
Yeah. I mean, I've thrown up enough times in my life now that it's not a problem. You're,
like, cool
anymore.
With it now? The universe is like, can't I deal with this?
Yeah, no, it was, like, specifically, like, throwing up in public. Like, it was one thing if I was, like, home, sick, like, that's fine, whatever. But, like, I was always nauseous as a kid. I still, to this day, am often very nauseous. And so, because it was, like, this thing that I didn't have any control over, and I was so, like, afraid that, like, I would go someplace and then throw up, which happened a few times, and that's how I, like, developed that fear. So I just, like, wouldn't eat if I had to, like, go someplace. And then that turned into a whole thing.
As far as fears, that's, like, a really common one. I've, like, looked it up a bunch because I also... I mean, mine manifests itself differently. I'm not scared of myself throwing up, although it's, like, I do think it's one of the worst things that can happen to me.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. Yeah.
But when I was in, like, elementary school, I used to sit next to this kid in class who used to throw up all the time.
Oh, no.
And for whatever reason, like... that is what I got a phobia of.
Yeah.
So that was a rough
year. Well, because there's so many, like, especially in school, there's that, like, sense memory of, like, the wood chips and the pine salt smell. Ugh! I can feel it. I can smell it right now as I'm talking about it. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know why that happened to me then, but, like, it still exists. And it's not like I, like, see people throw up very often. So there's no, like, like, I can finally, like, most of the time, I can watch it, like, in movies.
Yeah.
Even if it looks, like, also, really, like, realistic.
Yeah, but it rarely ever is. Like,
no,
it rarely,
that's true. Usually
rarely
it's not.
Looks realistic.
But,
yeah.
Like, there was a time in my life where I couldn't even watch it when it was, like, fake. Like, it would ruin my entire day. I would, like, feel, like, this, like, just thing just, like, happens to me on the inside that it's, like, I want to just, like, crawl out of my
part.
Body.
Yeah, I completely understand that part.
Yeah.
Have you watched Santa Clarita Diet on
no.
Netflix? So it's this... TV show where Drew Barrymore, I guess, is a zombie? I don't know. She's like, she died, and then now she's not dead, but yeah, she's a zombie, I guess, because she has to, like, eat people or eat brains. I'm not sure. It's really good. I don't know why I can't tell you more about it, because I really enjoyed it. but there's after... So she gets this, like, illness or whatever it is from eating... these specific clams, and it was, like, after she ate those clams, she, like, what she threw up was, like, so hilarious and disgusting, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, I don't know how I would do. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's like a bright yellow substance. So, and it's there's so much of it that it's absurd, you know. So it's,
oh,
like,
see, I can deal with that usually.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoy that show a lot.
I do find myself now, like searching for things that scare me. Like, now, I really, like, not... I don't search for people throwing up, because that's a different kind of fear for me.
Yes.
It's, like, a panic attack fear, and that's different. But the kind of, like, adrenaline fear...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I definitely, like, I like horror movies a lot now. And I'm often, like, really disappointed by them because they're not actually scary.
Yeah.
What, have you seen A Quiet Place?
No, not yet.
That one was actually scary. I liked it.
Yeah.
Not, like, crazy.
Yeah. Well, no, I like the kind of, like, well, I don't know. I'm kind of have two different ends of the spectrum as far as horror movies go, of, like, really kind of, I mean, that is an extreme example of something that's, like, quiet and, like, kind of slowly terrifying, you know, where it's just, like, building and but it's not, like, ah!
Yeah.
And then the other end of that is, like, ridiculous, bloody, just absurd things that are kind of just too ridiculous to actually be scary.
Like campy ones? Like, give me an example. Yeah.
I can't right now because I'm tired.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I like those a lot too. Like, in college, I watched Sleepaway Camp 2, which is, have you seen Sleepaway Camp?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that movie is ridiculous, but, like, the rest of the series, like, 2 and 3, I think there's even a fourth one, go, like, so over the top and just, like, silly and campy. But that was the first movie that I ever saw that I was like, hey, a movie can be so bad that it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Well, so, sometimes. I don't know. But I like any sort of, like, practical effects. I just find them really fun. And if we, like, lived in a different time where they were relied on more often, I think I probably would have, like, wanted to do that as a career.
Oh, cool.
But also, like, the older I get, the harder time I have watching violence for some reason. It just, like, bothers me a lot. So I've had a hard time, like, squaring my love of practical effects with, like, my increasing distaste for violent content. Which is why I really enjoyed The Nick. Because it's not really violent, but it is gross.
Well, I don't, like, the kind of horror movie I have always had a problem with is the kind that's just, like, gross just to be gross. But it's not, it's not even fun. Like, there's a lot of horror movies that are, like, that are just gross, and I'm like, okay, the effects people and the director were just like, hey, what can we do here? Let's do the most ridiculous thing we can do. But it's like, if you really, really go for that, I can get behind you, because I can be like, blah, gross, I've never seen that before. And I
but
can
also,
tell that
so often in those kinds of movies, like, the violence is, like, very pointedly aimed at women specifically in, like,
true.
A very misogynistic way that I do not appreciate.
Yes, that is true.
But sometimes it's fun.
Well, the ones that I can't stand are the ones that are just, like, lazy, and it's, like, that are just, like, a lot of blood and, like, something gross but not creative.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, the woman thing is, like, a whole separate.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I also, like, really enjoy a creature feature on a fairly regular basis. And I am, like, deeply interested in body horror.
Yeah.
But also, like, very put off by it at the same time. And, like, you were saying before of, like, doing things that scare you on purpose. Or watching things on purpose that scare you, like, that's a area where I'm, like, trying to force myself to get more into it, even though I'm like, ooh! But I just think it's a really interesting, and I don't know, hard to express myself. It's getting late. What else were we going to talk about? Did we talk about everything?
We did. Were there any eyebrows in this?
I mean, there were lots of good 90s heavy brows.
I didn't notice any. I was too busy looking at their shirts, that's why.
They were so overwhelming.
They were.
You can't even look at their faces.
I just, like, can't. And I know, like, we look back at every decade and we're like, why did they dress like that? But, like, why did they dress like that?
I don't know. I like 90s fashion sometimes, most of the time, but maybe not the four times too large t-shirt.
I think it just made me laugh the most in this because, like, you would look at, like, in both brother and sister episodes, you would look at them and they would be wearing, like, the exact same outfit.
It's true.
Which is just silly. Like, after watching this, I tried to look up if there were any scary kids shows now. Because when we were young, we had, like, this and, like, Eerie Indiana and, like, Goosebumps.
Ooh, Goosebumps was so scary.
Right? But there aren't any now. Not that I could find, anyway.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I know. It's fallen out of fashion to scare children.
Oh, have you ever watched the show iZombie? Okay, it's the CW show. Yes, the name is very dumb. But it's a really super smart and wonderful show. And season four just came to Netflix. So I just like watched that in a day and a half the other day. Highly recommend it. It's was created by Rob Thomas and Diane Ruggiero. Right, I think is her name. I don't know.
Rob Thomas also made Veronica Mars.
Yes. Okay. And what I was about to say is that iZombie is just like spooky Veronica Mars. And it's wonderful. And it's like very, like, it came kind of as the, like, zombie madness wave was crashing, you know, so mm-hmm. it was like a little late to the everything's about zombies now party, but it's like very self-aware in that and like makes jokes about itself to that point, and it's just, it's so wonderful. But it basically, the main character is this woman who was doing her residency. She was going to be a doctor, and then she went to this party and this like crazy fight breaks out because that people were taking this drug, and it turns out if you mixed that drug with this specific type of energy drink, it would turn you into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And then that zombieism is contagious if you're scratched or whatever. And so she got scratched at this party and like died, and then woke up the next morning and was a zombie. And she was like, what the fuck? So she had to like drop out of her residency and get a job in the morgue as an assistant medical examiner so that she had access to brains, because like in this show, you only like go crazy and like uncontrollably try to eat people's brains if you're hungry. So like as long as you can continue eating brains, like you can be a functional contributing member of society. And so she gets this job, and it turns out that like when you eat pieces of a given person's brain, you can actually have like flashbacks of their memories. So she winds up being an important member
Somebody
of the homicide
else
squad.
Was telling me about this show.
It's so good.
Is there a character who eats a wrestler? Or like...
I was getting to that. Yes, there is.
That's why okay. Somebody was telling me about it.
Yeah, so her boyfriend in the, like, before she becomes... Because also, humans and zombies can't have sex or you'll turn that person into a zombie. So she and her, like, pre-existing boyfriend had to break up, but then he winds up being in the series for a long time, and eventually he himself becomes a zombie. And there's this restaurant slash bar called Romero's, as a nod to George Romero, obviously. But they serve, like... Like, they have this whole, like, booklet where you can, like, pick out, like, whose brain you want to eat. because you, like, also take on their, like, personality traits, which is really funny because, like, and is also really amazing for this actress, the main character, because every episode she has to, like, play a different character, almost. It's kind of like Dollhouse in that way. But, yeah, so her ex-boyfriend, Major... His name is actually Major Lillywhite, which is really funny. It's based on a comic book also. I don't know if I mentioned that, but so he eats this wrestler brain, and then he, like for the whole episode, he's doing this like deranged Hulk Hogan thing that was so funny. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to tell Jordan about this.
Yep.
So that's in the
Somebody beat
season.
You to it.
But yeah. And it's just like it is kind of like also because it's about at the end of the third season, I think this thing happens where like half the city of Seattle gets turned into zombies, and then in the fourth season we learn that the government has actually like walled off the city and quarantined everyone there, and people are like trying to they're like trying to contain the zombie virus to Seattle. And so the show winds up being able to talk about some of the like larger issues that are happening now in a way that like other shows can't, like even shows that like might be directly engaging with those issues kind of like do it really terribly. In this situation, they're able to kind of like use this allegory to kind of talk about, you know, like border walls and racism mm-hmm. and fascism and mm-hmm. all sorts of like interesting kind of things that we're struggling with as a society. Mm. So highly recommend. Several thumbs up. iZombie. Seasons 1 through 4 on Netflix. And also, one of my favorite parts about each episode is that there will be this like sequence where the main character like is like cooking up the brains to eat. And so there are like these great little like cooking sequences of, you know.
Like on Six Feet Under, where like it would always open with the death and you'd be like, oh, how are they going to do it this time?
Yeah, kind of, except it's like the... Because it's also, I mean, it's basically a procedural, you mm-hmm. know, it's a police procedural kind of, it's a lot of things, but one of the things is that it's a police procedural, so it usually opens with, like, oh, they have a body they have to go pick up and, you know, get it back to the morgue and do an autopsy, and then she takes the brain out, and then they do this, like, and she, like, cooks up all these, like, different kinds of dishes, and the zombies, like, still can taste, but normal flavors, like, are not... flavorful enough because they're dead, basically, you know, so they have to like put hot sauce on everything to like actually get any sort of flavor. So it's just interesting to like watch her prepare all these different meals. Some of them look really great.
Oh man, Party Down is the other thing that Rob Thomas did.
That's yeah great. And so many of the actors from Party Down and from Veronica Mars wind up.
Oh, really?
Showing That's up fun. On iZombie. Yeah.
That makes me like excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really fun show.
All right. Do we have anything else to say about Are You Afraid of the Dark or Scary Things?
Scary Things. Oh, I have some trivia that I wrote down, okay. I think. Maybe. All right. We'll see. The substance in the bag. That they throw.
Oh my god, that's one of my questions. I literally wrote that down. Okay, what is it?
Non-dairy creamer.
What do you think it's supposed to be?
I don't know. I think it's just supposed to
put the fire out or make the fire go.
Yeah, it's just like, ooh, look, they made the fire spooky. You know, I don't know. Yeah. They were going to make a feature film of the show starring the second generation cast of the Midnight Society, planned by DJ MacHale, who was the creator of the show, around 1998. But according to him, Nickelodeon canceled it after he refused to change the script he gave them to be less dark. So I'm curious what that script looked like.
Oh, we could have gotten like a dark... Are You Afraid of the Dark movie?
I mean, maybe. Maybe... They'll bring it back now that they're doing gritty reboots of everything.
Oh, did you ever play the video game?
No, I didn't. Apparently there was also a board game.
I never played the board game. I had the video game, and it was so scary that I could never finish it. Also, it was really hard, or I just didn't have, like, the patience to do it. I don't know which one.
I had a Goosebumps game like that. What what platform was it on?
It was on, like, a PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Same with the... Goosebumps game. Oh, many episodes were shot in actual cemeteries, but due to strict laws in Canada, the crew was prohibited from showing any actual names on headstones on camera. So as a result, they were forced to bring in foam headstones with fake names and place them deliberately in the shot to block them. Oh, all the campfire scenes, I mentioned that they were shot on a soundstage, but they were all shot within a week so that the crew wouldn't have to rebuild the set.
Oh, that makes sense. Like, in a season.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, that's the extent of my trivia.
Yay.
Well, I declare this meeting of the Wistful Thinking podcast closed. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts, however you're listening to this right now, at cageclub.me. Jordan, if people want to find you, where should they look?
I'm on Instagram at JordoPC.
Yes, and I am on various things at Bimps, BIMPSE, and we'll talk to you next time on Wistful Thinking. Ooh.
Bye.
Bye.